Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another Black College Nines HBCU Baseball Podcast Series. Again, our podcast series, we always like to speak to the HBCU baseball coaches and the many things that they do, especially for their programs, how they run their programs, and not just running their programs, they head coaches. And our podcast today will focus on none other than Brett Richardson, the head coach of Alcorn State University, a pretty good baseball program. It's been around a while, and he's in a unique situation. He came from Florida A&M, and our podcast today will talk about Coach Richardson, what he's done, and how he views college baseball, and him leaving. He's coaching a SWAC, and I want him to tell us, how does he compare the SWAC versus the MEAC? Coach Richardson, how are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Mr. Coker.
Anytime. Coach, you got started at, your coaching started at Florida A&M University. You were an assistant there for 18 years. You helped guide that program. What was it like at Florida A&M?
It was a wonderful time being at Florida A&M. You know, I had some great mentors, some guys that some men that really taught me a lot, and I had an opportunity to work closely with and really learn a lot from from the late great Costa Pop Kittles, who the field is at Florida A&M is named after, to the late Robert Lucas. Who was a scout for the Braves for 18 years, excuse me, for 15 years, and Joe Durant. He retired probably about 10 years ago. So I've had some great mentors, been able to work with a lot of great guys, and I've learned a lot from them. So I was very fortunate for that opportunity to work there.
Yeah, but you also played for the Rattlers. You were a member of the 90, 91, and 92 teams.
Yeah, I was played there from 90 to 93. We were fortunate to win three MEAC championship crowns while I was there. I think the only year we did not win, I think Howard beat us that year. I was able, came through the program as a player. I was very fortunate enough to come through as a coach, and I really enjoyed my time there at Florida A&M University.
Well, what brought you to become an assistant?
Well, after my playing days were over with, I spent 4 years coaching high school baseball, but Coach Durant at the time wanted me to come on as assistant coach there. But being that I just finished playing there, I didn't feel comfortable coming back trying to coach guys that I had, kind of recently played with. So that's when I went to high school and I coached for 4 years. And so when those guys had left, most of the guys that left that I played with, Coach Durant felt like it was time now for me to bring me aboard as an assistant coach. And I was so fortunate and glad that he did. You know, I started coaching at a young age. I got an opportunity that a lot of people aren't afforded to, like I said. In this day and age, most assistant coaches have to, come in and start as volunteer coaches or graduate assistants and work their way up to assistant coaches. And I was very fortunate that Coach Durant saw enough in me to give me an opportunity at such a young age to be an assistant coach. And, like I said, I spent 18 years there. Some people may not know, but in 2011, I was the interim head coach there. I got it, Florida A&M to the MEAC tournament, 2 years prior to me being there. We didn't make the tournament. The year that I had them, we did make the tournament. Then 2 years after I left, they didn't make the tournament again, which subsequently led to Coach Jamie Shoup getting a job there at Florida A&M now.
And you became a Shoup's assistant coach. And
Jamie and I have a great relationship. We've known each other for years. He coached me my freshman year in high school at Lincoln High School. He was my head coach, and we just always kind of stayed in contact with each other. And then, when I got the job at Florida A&M as assistant coach, he was the assistant coach over at Florida State. And so, anytime I needed any advice or opportunity to come over and watch practice or whatever the situation may be, he and Coach Martin were always so open, for me to be able to come over there. And then when he got the job at Florida A&M, I was the assistant that he asked me, and again, I've been afforded some opportunities that a lot of people haven't, because I've been there through some coaching changes. And a lot of times when there's a head coaching change, the assistant coaches are gone too. But the head coaches that came in, they saw, you know, thought enough of me to keep me on board. And, you know, the same thing with Jamie. When he came aboard, he asked me to stay on with him. And, you know, we had two great years together. We turned the program around. I think the previous year before he got there, we won 7 games. I think his first year, we won 25 or 26 games. And then the following year after that, his second year, we were able to capture the MEAC crown and go on the regional play. I think it was the first year. I think we might have been either the first or the second. We ended up beating the University of Florida at their place. I think they were ranked number 6 in the country at the time when we beat them. So, again, I've been fortunate to work for some very, you know, good guys, good coaches, and like I said, who thought enough of me to give me the opportunities and keep me on when they could have, brought somebody else in.
Well, Coach Shoup stated that you were influential in helping the program rebuild from 7 wins for 2 years into 26. He also stated too that you were the right person for that job.
Well, you know, I think I learned a lot from being around him for those, you know, the 2 years that we were together, you know, working with him on a day-to-day basis. You know, I got a chance to not only know him as a coach, but I got a chance to know him as a friend and as a confidant as well. So he is one of my, you know, very, you know, best friends that I have in baseball right now, because we've shared a lot, we've gone through a lot, and you know, so I appreciate the compliments that he gave me as far as, you know, him me being the right person for the job. But you know, I don't want to take any credit or any shine away from what he's done. He's done a magnificent job at Florida A&M, and he's brought that program from, you know, the 7 wins prior to him getting in to where they are now, one of the top programs in the MEAC conference right now.
Well, you should, because what has happened here is it led you to being selected as Alcorn State's head coach at your current position. This is the helm that you're in right now. And what I want to discuss with you about that is what's the difference? And the reason why I'm asking is because I'm leading up to a question, and I will get to that. My next question will get to that.
Well, there's a lot of differences between Alcorn and Florida A&M. You know, location, let's start off with that. You know, Florida A&M is located in Tallahassee, which is, you know, the capital of Florida, the same city with Florida State University. So, you know, there's also Tallahassee Community College, which is located there. So, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Florida A&M might be the third largest, you know, junior college / four-year institution in Tallahassee behind TCC and Florida State. So there's a bigger city there. Here at Alcorn, you know, we're kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And I've always said from day one, you know, being here, it takes a special person, not only from a coach, but a player standpoint too, to be able to come into an environment like this and be able to thrive. And that's one of the things that when we talk about recruiting prospective student athletes, you know, what I've done since I've been here is I want all the kids that want an opportunity or thinking about coming here to Alcorn State, that they have to come and visit the place. Because I want them to understand, I want them to feel comfortable with where they're going to be for the next, you know, 4 to 5 years of their lives. And it's important for me as a head coach to not only make sure the players are going to be happy where they are, but the parents as well. So we get these kids on this campus, and, you know, Alcorn is a beautiful campus, probably one of the most beautiful campuses that I've ever been on in my 20-plus years of college coaching. But it's a unique situation being where we're located. So once we get the kids and the parents on campus, everything else kind of sells itself.
Well, how has that helped you build the program, and is that working with the administration? Because a lot of administrators at HBCUs don't always take to baseball.
You're absolutely right, man. And it's been a slow process, you know. But one of the things when I got here, I think 2015 was my first year. I didn't get the job. I didn't get hired until September 1st, and so I wasn't able to recruit anybody before I got to Alcorn. So I basically had to play with the team that I had that they had the previous year. But what that did for me was that allowed me to come in and to really get to know these guys. And, you know, I could have come in after that first year was over with and kind of cleaned house. But that first year of me really getting to know these guys, I wanted them, again, a lot of them too were also close to graduating. I wanted them to continue to have the opportunity to play baseball at Division I level and also to graduate. This past season, I had 13 seniors. And between last spring and this fall coming up, all 13 of those seniors are going to graduate. And so now I'm just now getting to the point where I'm implementing a lot of my recruits are getting, so to speak, in here. It's still about half and half. I still about half guys that were here before me. But now there's an influx of new blood, an influx of new talent that's coming in here. So, you know, we feel really good about the mixture of, you know, the players that we have here in the program. And that's how we want to continue to do that.
Well, one thing I would like to find out from you is the comparison, considering you've been on both sides of the ship, as a player and as a coach for the MEAC, the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, and now the SWAC. How do you look at the SWAC? How do you look at the MEAC, considering I consider MEAC more pitching happy than the SWAC is more hitter based? Your thoughts?
You would absolutely be right in that. The MEAC is more pitcher-friendly, whereas the SWAC is more hitter-friendly. But I tell you what I think separates the MEAC and the SWAC even further. I'm not sure about the landscape of the MEAC now, again, because I'm not in the MEAC. But I know previously when I was there, there wasn't a lot of schools in the MEAC that were fully funded. If I'm not mistaken, at that time I was in the MEAC, Bethune-Cookman was the only program that was fully funded. Where that's not the case here in the SWAC. There's a lot of programs in the SWAC that are fully funded. So while, you know, I think that, and that's the reason why I think that the MEAC conference is so top heavy. You know, schools at the top, the Bethune-Cookmans, the Florida A&Ms, the North Carolina A&Ts, those programs, I think, if they're not fully funded, they're close to being fully funded. So that's why those school programs continue to dominate that conference. Whereas here in the SWAC, you know, a lot of the programs are fully funded, and so you've had schools, you know, teams like Alcorn be able to win it. You know, then there's a Grambling that pops up, and now Texas Southern, you know, Prairie View, you know, as well. So there's a rotational basis, but because I think the programs are so fully funded that every year program teams can go out and reload, and, you know, from year to year, it just depends on, you know, how the program recruits, whether or not that program can be successful and have an opportunity to win. But your initial assessment is correct. The MEAC is definitely, I think, is a more pitching heavy conference, where the SWAC is more hitter conference, hitter friendly.
Well, what I've noticed, and things have a way of trickling down, and I say that because currently, and I don't understand what's going on with Major League Baseball, and they're into the playoffs right now. Hitters are swinging at pitches that are outside the strike zone or just too high to even swing at. And is that where the game is headed, even at Division I level?
Well, we hear so much, especially with Major League Baseball, about this launch angle. And that's, I think, guys, what they're trying to do now, they're trying to get underneath the baseball. And what they're trying to do is they're not concerned about strikeouts. I think it's kind of been proven over the past decade or so, hitters really don't care about strikeouts. They figure if they can hit 25 to 35 home runs a year, they're okay with striking out 150, some guys even 200 times a year. Striking out is no longer a shame or anything to be embarrassed about. As long as you can put up some decent power numbers, I think teams and organizations are okay with that. And that's got a trickle-down effect into college baseball. I preach constantly to my guys on a day-to-day basis about putting the ball in play. Again, what we want to try to do is we get 27 outs in a ball game. We want to try to utilize all 27 outs. If we can get our goal here at Alcorn is to go through a baseball game and not strike out at all, that means we put the ball in play 27 times. If we can put the ball in play on those 27 outs, that increases our chances of scoring runs. Of course, the more runs we score, hopefully the more games we're going to win. You know, we're averaging 9, 10, 11, 12 strikeouts per game. It's like I tell my guys, you can go to the plate. You may as well go to the plate those 9, 10, 11 times with nothing in your hand and just stand there. I said, so we want to give ourselves an opportunity to score runs. Make the defense have to make some plays. So we can put the ball in play. The more time we can put the ball in play and then make the defense make those plays, our chances of scoring runs are going to increase. But again, it's what those guys see on television with a launch angle and, you know, people want to see the long ball, the home run ball. I think that's definitely had a trickle-down effect of what's going on here in college baseball.
So it is affecting college baseball.
Absolutely. You know, it's talked about on a constant basis. If you go to some of the NCAA clinics, you know, some of the baseball coaches association conferences, that'll be a topic of conversation. They'll talk about the launch angle. And again, a lot of coaches now, they don't care about the strikeout because, again, look at a team like a program like Tennessee Tech over the past, you know, 3 years with the success that they've had with the teams that they've had being able to hit them home runs, many home runs they've had. So, again, I think there's more than one way to skin a cat. And so I'm not against the launch angle situation, but I don't think that's the only way to go about the situation.
Has many teams within the SWAC, have they adopted this sort of playing style? Because I see the SWAC more as an all-around a game. I've attended many games over the years, last season and this season, and I find, especially coming from Alcorn State, because there are times when I may come to a game and never let the people know that I'm there because I'm also a fan of the sports. But I see an overall game, and my question to you is: with the SWAC's overall game, is it helping in getting these kids selected by Major League Baseball come draft time? Because that seems to be lacking at HBCUs.
Well, what we try to do is have a well-rounded athlete. You know, to play the style of baseball that a Tennessee Tech plays or some of the programs around the country play, you have to have that type of athlete. It's very tough to get, on a consistent basis, those types of athletes here at HBCUs. We just don't have, you know, number one, the recruiting budgets to go out to recruit those guys. And a lot of times we don't have the namesake for a lot of those guys to want to come to a program like, you know, what we have here at HBCU. So it's tough to have a program that's going to be, you know, solely based upon, you know, that type of strategy, that launch angle where we just want to be a power-hitting team. Because very seldom are you going to be able to get those type of guys. So what we got to do is we have to be, you know, what I've tried to do is I've tried to be a more well-rounded, you know, program. Yes, we'll have, you know, two or three guys that we feel can hit the ball out of the ballpark at any time, but we also want to make sure that we've got guys that are going to be able to put the ball in the plate, contact guys. We want to make sure we got athletic guys, guys that can run, can steal bases, can bunt, and play defense. That's how we want to try to build our program on. And hopefully we can do enough of those good things that, you know, we should be able to hopefully to catch some of the eyes of Major League Scouts to get our kids an opportunity to play at the next level.
Well, it appears like we're not getting a lot of kids. And it's really disturbing because you look up and down the board, the SWAC has a lot of guys that throw in the 90s. Unfortunately, you got high school kids coming out throwing 96, 98. But 92, 93, and you got SWAT teams that are doing that. But you still have major leaguers that are throwing 92, 93. And I don't see the difference between what they're doing in the minor leagues versus, because I consider Division I baseball as minor league baseball.
Well, it depends on where you watch, where the baseball is being played at. You know, we can talk all we want to about our kids not getting a fair shake. And in the grand scheme of things, our kids aren't going to get a fair shake because we don't get the exposure that a lot of those big institution programs have. If we feel we can put our kids up against any of those types of programs. But the problem is, we don't have the namesake that a lot of those schools are, so a lot of the scouts aren't going to come out. What they'll do is they'll go by what's, you know, pretty much word of mouth, and they'll ask about a kid that's at Alcorn. And if a scout, the scout that they ask, if the scout gives them a good report on the kid, then they may come out and see the kid. But if the scout says to them, well, no, he's not worth it, or, you know, I heard he can't play, then that scout's not going to come out and watch him play. We need to get to a point to where Major League Baseball is making a concerted effort on a year-in and year-out basis to come out and see our kids. I'm like you. There are tons of kids in the SWAC that can play. There are tons of kids in the MEAC conference that can play. But because we're not in a big conference and because we're not in a at a big institution, we don't get the same looks that those guys do. Now, what we've tried to do here at HBCUs, and you know, not just here but at other programs, is we've tried to beef up our schedule to play those types of guys, to give our kids that exposure to Major League scouts to say, look, our kids can play at this level against that type of competition if only given an opportunity to. So, again, what we want to try to do is prepare our kids as best as we can so when that opportunity presents itself, those guys can go out and make the most of it and hopefully maximize that opportunity to get an opportunity to play.
You know, you've opened up my eyes on that. I'm glad to hear you say that. But the winding down this podcast, Coach, last season I spoke to quite a few people, and I said, watch Alcorn State. And when I said that at the time was we were preparing for the 2018 season, heading into that season, and I'm going to say that again this year to a lot of people who cover baseball, especially, you know, me being at the national level, to watch Alcorn State. How do you see your fall? How's your fall ball practice coming?
Well, we've had a really good fall. Last week was kind of tough for us because of the weather here in Mississippi. It's kind of been you can flip a coin on whether we're gonna get rain or whether we not, whether we don't get rain. But I've been pretty pleased so far with how the fall has gone. I had to replace an assistant coach, and he's come along, Ryan Fuentes. He was the pitching coach, graduate assistant pitching coach over at Grambling the past 2 years. He's come in and done a wonderful job with the pitchers. They've taken to him. So we're going to be pretty – we're going to have, like I said, a mixture of some old guys, but we're also going to have some young guys. You know, there's a possibility that we can start, two freshmen up the middle, one at shortstop and one at second base. But if we have to do that, we feel pretty good about that because – these kids are going to be able to play the game, and that's what we're doing here. We're trying to teach these kids how to play the game of baseball, and, you know, we're going to let them play. You know, we're not going to, you know, put the reins on them, but we're going to teach these kids how to play the game. So once they get on the field, you know, hopefully their athletic ability, you know, will be able to shine. So we still got some work we got to do, absolutely. You know, on a daily basis, it's a grind. You know, and I tell the kids that when they come to practice, it's just like having a job. So when you get here, make sure you're ready to work. And from an attitude standpoint, from an effort standpoint, these kids, I tell you, have done everything that I've asked them to do. So I know that the first couple years have been kind of lean as far as wins are concerned, and I'm not predicting how many wins we're going to win this year, but what I can tell you is that there will definitely be an exciting brand of baseball being played here at Alcorn State University this year. And our goal from day one is not wavered or changed. Is to be the SWAC champion at the end of the season when all is said and done.
And correct, and being HBCU's baseball Black College 9 top 10?
Now, that's the goal. We want to, listen, anything we do, Mr. Coker, we want to try to be number one at. And again, that's the attitude that we're taking here. Whether we can actually get to that, you know, that remains to be seen. But I feel very confident in what, you know, we're teaching the young men here. And that if they can go out and play to their abilities and execute, there's no doubt in my mind we'll get the top 10.
Well, I see it happening. Like I said, you're in a good conference. You're in a hitter's conference, and you did touch on something, scheduling. It's unfortunately that a lot of HBCU teams are under 500 against top-ranked teams, but if you look across the board and you look at the stats like I do, you are seeing that they are climbing. It is a slow process. We don't expect you guys to go out there and blow them out right away, but I think you're building Alcorn State as to a program that you can look to years down the road.
Well, and that's what I want to try to do. You know, my goal has always been, I'm not sure how long I'll be here at Alcorn. I hope for the next 10 to 15 years. But my goal is always be to leave the program in better hands than the way I found it. And, you know, we are building something special here. And I definitely feel I have a good feeling about this place here. And, you know, just to kind of touch on a little something, when you talk about HBCUs playing some of the bigger schools, you know, we get a bad rap and, you know, our records look the way we look because a lot of times we're playing these bigger schools in the middle of the week on a Tuesday and Wednesday. And we can't throw our, you know, and this game is based about pitching. And we can't pitch our number ones and number two in the middle of the week because we have our conference games on the middle, on the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we're going against another team's, you know, maybe four or five guys, and we're throwing our four or five. Well, the difference between their four or five guy and our four or five guy is night and day. So that's why the scores can get a little lopsided, or they can look the way they look, and we're not having as much success, you know, as we would normally have. But I had a friend of mine, a good buddy of mine, who was at Stetson University some years back. He was the head coach at Central Florida for a minute. I can't think of his name. Terry, oh, God. I'm drawing a blank on the last. Anyway, his last, first name is Terry. But anyway, he was the head coach at Stetson for at UCF for a while, and he was an assistant coach at Stetson. And when I was at Florida A&M, he kind of brought us down for a weekend, and we played, it was a tournament at Stetson, South Florida, and Oklahoma State, and us. And we played Stetson that Friday night, and we lost 3-1. We played South Florida on that Saturday, and we beat South Florida. And then we were supposed to play Oklahoma State on that Sunday, but we got rained out. And so when the tournament was over with, he called me, Terry Roney, that's his name. Terry called me, he said, Brett, man, you guys played well this weekend. I said, Terry, I said, we can play with you guys on a weekend. And the scores, you know, we going to lose some, and y'all may lose some. I said, but when we're playing you guys in the middle of the week, and we've got to throw our four or five, and then when y'all throwing y'all four or five, your four or five guy could probably come to my place and be my number one. And he looks at me and says, Brett, you know what? I never even thought about that. I said, yes. We don't have at black colleges the depth that those programs have. So when we have to go to a bullpen or we might have an injury with someplace, the next guy that comes in is not going to be as good as, you know, you had to pull out or the guy that got injured. And that's what we don't have here at HBCU programs is the depth. And that a lot of those schools that we play, they know that. So when we play them, the first thing they say, if we can get into the bullpen, then we know we're going to be okay. And that's how all, if you look at the games from an HBCU standpoint, schools that make it into a regional play, the games are always close early on.
Yes,
once
yes.
Once that team goes into the bullpen, then that's when the game gets to kind of get out of hand because the guy that you take out, the guy that you put in is not as good as the guy that you take out. And that's where, until we can get to a point at HBCUs where our depth is on par with our starters, then it's going to be tough for us to beat those schools, especially on a regular basis.
Well, Coach, that well spoken. You've opened up my eyes on quite a bit. I agree with you. But I want to encourage you to continue to lead Alcorn State where you are. I think you're in a good situation. I think you were the right hire for that job, and I really appreciate you giving us this time with you.
Absolutely, Mr. Colgan. Anytime, any place, absolutely. I'd be more than happy to do this again with you, sir.
We will do this again.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.